Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I want His will with all my heart. Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience.
If you've listened to Gateway to Joy for some time, you've heard me talk about Mrs. Kershaw more than once. Dear Mrs. Kershaw was an old lady who came and worked for us when I was in college. I remember my mother writing to me about her after I'd gotten to college. And so when I came home at Christmas vacation, I walked out into the kitchen, and here was this little old humpbacked lady hunched over the dishpan. And so I said, "Oh, you must be Mrs. Kershaw." She never moved a muscle. She just kept on washing the dishes. My sister was standing on the other side of the kitchen, and she said to me, "She's deaf." And so I said, "You mean she can't hear anything?" And Ginny said, "She can't hear anything." And I said, "Not even if you shout?" "Not even if you shout," she said. Mrs. Kershaw never moved a muscle. So I went over and tapped her on the shoulder, and she turned around and looked at me with this radiant smile, wrinkled face, just the most beautiful smile. And she said, "Oh, the daughter." For some reason, she always called me the daughter, and my sister she called Ginny. So I don't know. I think she did know my name. But dear Mrs. Kershaw was just the epitome. She was the living embodiment of childlike sweetness. I don't think there was one thought in Mrs. Kershaw's head except, "What can I do for these people? What do they need?" She lived all by herself. She was a widow. She had a good-for-nothing, non-activist, shall we say, real throwaway kind of a son who never did anything for her, as far as we could see. He hardly ever came to see her. She lived in this big old empty house, stone deaf. She couldn't have a telephone. She couldn't hear a knock on the door, so she had a little sign on the front door, which was there when I would go to pick her up in the car, whoever had to go to pick her up in the morning. There was a little sign that said, "Please walk in, I'm home." Anybody could have walked in. We had to walk in and walk through the rooms until we found her. Usually she was sitting there very quietly in her rocking chair, just waiting for one of us to come, and she would look up with this radiant smile again. But I think of Mrs. Kershaw as just an example to me, a godsend to our family. It didn't make any difference at all what needed to be done. She was prepared to do it. It is enough for the servant that he be as his master. She was like her master. Childlikeness. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be first in the kingdom of God must become like a little child." We're not going to get in there unless we become like a little child. Childlikeness. Whoever wants to be first must be the very last, must be willing to be the servant of all. The story is told of an old saint who, as she was dying, was asked for a final word. She said, "Make yourselves small. Make yourselves very small." That fits in with Jesus' teaching, doesn't it? A child has no hidden agenda, no defense of his rights, no calculating or manipulating. Now, I know some of you mothers right now are thinking, "Oh, now, wait a minute, you don't know my child." I'm talking about a very small child. We know that even a very small child is sinful and has his ways of showing rebellion within the first few days of his life. But we do know that there is something very sweet and uncalculating about children in general. And you know, when I try to think, how am I supposed to answer the questions that people send me, if only I could just give the person the simple answer, be childlike, come to the cross, simplify your aims, their problems would be solved. They don't want that simple an answer so often. I get accused of oversimplification or being simplistic. Well, I hear people say, I'm having a hard time with that. I don't think I ever dare to touch on the subject of women's submission to their husbands or women staying home, those red flags in people's minds these days, but very scriptural that I, as an older woman, am commanded to teach. But I don't think I ever talk about those when I don't get questions about how hard it is. Or people saying, well, you know, I'm really having a hard time with that. Titus 2:3-5, older women are to teach the younger women to stay home. The younger women come to me and they say, but I'm having a hard time with that. And I say, what do you mean by a hard time? And as I've thought over that question, because I hear it all the time, well, I'm really struggling with this. What are we struggling about? I think that the word struggle very often is an evasion of obedience. We'd rather struggle, we'd rather be counseled, we'd rather talk to 35 close friends, we'd rather ask advice of several people that we know will tell us exactly what we want to hear, than do exactly what the Bible tells us to do. And as I've thought about what this means, having a hard time, I thought, well, there are four possible questions, one of which might be what this person means. Number one, does this apply to me? We always think maybe our case is special. Everybody's case is special, isn't it? So here is Elizabeth Elliot dishing out all this stuff. Yeah, but that doesn't apply to my case. Okay, number two, I want to do it, but I can't. Now, is it possible that Jesus would tell us to do something we can't do? Well, of course, he tells us to do a lot of things we can't do without his help, but he's there to help us, isn't he? He told the man with the withered hand to stretch forth his hand. That was the one thing he couldn't do, but he did it, didn't he? Because the power of Jesus was there. I want to do it, but I can't. That's a possible meaning of I'm having a hard time. Number three is I ought to do it, but I don't want to. That's probably the most honest answer. I know I ought to do it, but I don't want to. And number four, I wish God hadn't said it. Now, you're going to have a hard time with any one of those, aren't you? So what shall we do with these difficulties? To the first, I would say that if we come to God with an empty cup, asking him to reveal his will and help us to do the right thing, no matter what it costs, he will certainly show us. That takes care of, does this apply to me? He will show us. For the second, I want to do it, but I can't. We have the promise, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. God never gave a command for which he will not supply the power to obey. To the third, I ought to do it, but I don't want to. We know that we've been created with the will to choose. We may choose to do what we ought to do, and God will help us. As C.S. Lewis so wonderfully illustrates in his Narnia books again and again, when you're told to do something, you don't ask if you can. You must do it. Aslan tells the children to do things they can't do, but they have no time to ask whether they can do it or not. They simply have to try. And that's the point at which God helps us. And of the last, number four, I wish God hadn't sent it. If that describes our hard time, let's be honest with God. Confess the truth and submit to his word as an obedient servant. It is enough for the servant that he be as his master. So faith cuts across human logic. Faith opposes common sense and ordinary methods. It is that blind leap that we are called upon sometimes to take. We see absolutely no solution to our problem, no way out, but God says, trust me. Trust me. I do know what I'm doing. I will help you. You want your life to be simple? Be childlike. And the third way in which we can simplify our lives is by doing the next thing. Do the next thing. Now, that's a maxim that I learned years ago from my mother, and it has been certainly life-saving to me. It comes from a poem. I'll read you the poem. From an old English parsonage down by the sea, there came in the twilight a message for me. Its quaint Saxon legend, deeply engraven, hath, as it seems to me, teaching from heaven. And on through the hours, the quiet words ring like a low inspiration, do the next thing. Many a questioning, many a fear, many a doubt hath its quieting here. Moment by moment, let down from heaven, time, opportunity, guidance are given. Fear not tomorrow's child of the king, trust them with Jesus. Do the next thing. Do it immediately. Do it with prayer. Do it reliantly, casting all care. Do it with reverence, tracing his hand who placed it before thee with earnest command. Stayed on omnipotence, safe neath his wing, leave all resultings. Do the next thing. Looking to Jesus, ever serener, working or suffering be thy demeanor. In his dear presence, the rest of his calm, the light of his countenance be thy psalm. Strong in his faithfulness, praise and sing. Then, as he beckons thee, do the next thing. I call you tonight to simplicity, to single-heartedness, to childlikeness, and to a quiet moving from one thing to the next. In the strength of the Lord. God bless you.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.